So I'm going to talk about kicking. Earlier today, we played a clip from Mel Kiper. We can get back to that at 1:30. That said, you know, you should get rid of too high and all this stuff for the betterment of the game. Let me talk about the things that actually would make the game better. They have to shrink the uprights. And I mean this genuinely because a 40-yard field goal, when they first had these upright sizes, used to be a difficult kick in the league. League-wide, 50-plus yard field goals this season are being made at an 80% clip. When you're making 80% of all 50-yard field goals, well, then the kicking has surpassed the technology that we're working with. So the very simple solution is one of two things. Either raise the crossbar so that you have to have more distance on it in order for it to be good, or shrink the uprights, making the target zone a little bit smaller. I think I would shrink the uprights, but I honestly think over the next 5 years, the league is going to have to look into this. You could not, I think in a way, it's a disservice to the league if from the 50-yard line every single game 5 years from now, everyone can make a kick 50% of the time. It's kind of nuts. The rate right now has gotten really high. You got some of the good ones?
Well, I was just in regards to... No, I couldn't find them. In regards to your point there, this is why we, even in fantasy football, we changed one of our league scoring for kickers because you're right. 50-yarders are not what they were 10 years ago. Do I think they need to change the goalposts? No, we don't need to go arena football league here and make these narrow, et cetera. Like, we don't need to do that. It's what's expected from kickers now, that you can make 55-yarders. Dave Tobe was talking today, as you mentioned, like, Butker can make a 68-yarder. His range, I think they said 72 or 74 is kind of all the way out to 72 or 74 yards that they had to in a perfect prime condition, which, by the way, is what they're going to be in on Sunday night in Atlanta if they need one right before halftime. How about that? A 72-yarder down at the Mercedes Dome or whatever it's called these days.
I think that they've got to shorten it. It's just too, it's gotten too easy, hasn't it? Like, it's just different. When they created those rules, people couldn't make the kind of kicks that they could make. It seems kind of, I don't know. I guess they like points, and this just guarantees points, so maybe that's why they don't care. I will say, it's going to change. If people keep hitting at this rate, Gold, it is going to dramatically change end of game, tie game situations. And these teams with a chance to go up two scores instead of one should really be paying attention to it, because a lot more game tying field goals if literally every kicker in the league can make it from 55.
Yeah, by the way, you can buy a purple black shoulder cock for $450 from legspfoul.com. Anyway, Drew, what do you got?
That sounds uncomfortable.
Okay, I have C.J. Stroud. I don't know if you guys caught this on Sunday Night Football. After the game, he was going up to talk to Caleb Williams, and he said, "Hey, good job out there, and to stop taking these hits." Caleb Williams, it looked like he was like, "All right, good, I'm out of here. Don't talk to him anymore." But then C.J. brought him back in, like he pulled him back in. And they were talking for a little bit after the game. C.J. Stroud said he wasn't trying to little bro Caleb Williams. I guess
I didn't take it that way at all. I was surprised that ended up being a national reaction to that.
To me, if you didn't see what he was saying, you saw it, and I was like, yeah, he might have just said, hey, congrats, and keep going. But him explaining it, C.J. Stroud, he's trying to help Caleb out more than anything, because I think Caleb Williams, his entire life, has probably been able to just put on the helmet, the pads, and be able to go and do his thing and not have any sort of a problem, where, as we've seen through two games, it's not that easy, and he's going to have some bumps and bruises that he's going to have to go through, and it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the rookie year pans out, because obviously the numbers aren't there necessarily, but he's making decisions that he made in college at USC that actually ended up working out. They're not, and they're resulting in picks that are double coverage and everything like that, so it's going to take some time for him.
I think he just did what a lot of quarterbacks do. C.J. Stroud, years don't matter in the league. Have you established yourself as one of the people to watch at that position? C.J. Stroud has. Him giving Caleb Williams advice, not little brothering him, it's him,
right,
an established 100%. NFL successful starting quarterback saying, dude, you're going to be good. Peyton Manning would have done the same thing to a younger quarterback. So would Patrick Mahomes. I was surprised to find out that was the reaction. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, where's the line? Is it, you know, someone saying, hey, well, he was just a rookie last year. What's the line? You got to be in the league for four. You got to be in the league four years, Drew. You know, I'm with you. Like, you got to be in the league 4 years till you can actually give advice to a player. What? Or is it, wait, it's got to be a year and a half. It's got to be 3 years. What are we doing?
As far as I know, I don't know if Caleb Williams was asked about it either afterwards, but look, I think any rookie would be taking advice, and it doesn't matter how C.J. Stroud's proved that he's good enough, to your point, Cody, to be able to give advice. It's not like Zach Wilson's out there giving advice to somebody on how to play quarterback.
Yeah.
Or Bryce Young, whatever.
Lastly, on all 32, I'll take us to the head coaching conversation in the NFL. Earlier, we were talking about quarterbacks getting benched and who the next one is.
Sure.
Look at the coaching carousel that we know is going to happen at some point. Every year, there's like four, five, six coaches that get fired.
Correct.
And right now, the number one guy on the list, of course, is Brian Daboll up in New York. What's going on there? He knows it. I think that if this thing doesn't turn around in a hurry, and he doesn't have the quarterback to do it, I think, then he's probably going to get fired. The question will be, do you think we see a coach get fired in season? I was trying to look back, and how many consecutive years have we seen that happen? Last year, Frank Reich got fired very early on in the year. That was kind of a unique circumstance with him and the owner. But the surprising name that I actually think is in jeopardy, despite making the playoffs a couple years ago, Doug Peterson. And by the way, Daboll made the playoffs a couple years ago, too. But Doug Peterson.
I think he's at risk.
He's got...
They're 0-2, and they've got the golden boy.
Yeah, they just paid a quarterback. They're now in a division where the Texans have surpassed them because of C.J. Stroud.
Correct.
The Colts, I know they're 0-2. We talked about this the other day. But the Colts seem like they're headed maybe in the right direction. The Jags are in trouble. And Doug Peterson has the second best odds right now to be fired. Daboll... 250, Peterson 4-1, Mike McCarthy 6-1. Mike McCarthy's not getting fired in season, guys. Jerry Jones doesn't do that.
We could set a damn record for head coaching vacancies because just depending on if it goes south for everyone. Because I'll tell you right now, Eberflus at risk, Sirianni's at risk. If the Bengals miss the postseason, Zach Taylor's at risk. All of those guys are guys I expect to have their job at the end of the 2024 season. But if it went south in a hurry, Gold, any of those guys could be fired, including and Robert Saleh. Any of those guys could be fired
Sirianni
by
is,
the end of the season.
Nick Sirianni,
at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you might be surprised. Nick Sirianni is only 20. This was 22. This was before the Monday night. This was September 16th, so that would have been...
After they'd started the season 1-0 after the Brazil game?
That would have been Monday before the Monday night game and the embarrassment. He was 22-1 to get fired. My guess is those odds have shifted closer to 10-1 for Sirianni after that performance against the Eagles.
When he doesn't get along with his quarterback, Falcons. It's just a mess. Again, the Zach Taylor thing is if he doesn't make the postseason.
Jags schedule.
He gets a healthy Burrow.
For Jags and Doug Peterson, they got the Bills coming up on Monday night, then the Texans, then the Colts, then the Bears, and the Patriots. That's the next couple games for Doug Peterson. That's all 32.